I love to follow the comment that I don't care what that the district court is completely wrong. One of the great things about being appointed to the federal bench is you can start these things by saying, whatever I say, I may not believe. Whatever I say, I may not do tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, and it'll depend on the facts. So with that certainty, I'll just lay out a couple of comments. It's a little odd for bankruptcy judges or district court judges who inherit some of these problems in that they are incredibly complex, but people have to remember, and it just struck me as I was sitting here, that I could be sitting having a calendar one day, and I have somebody in front of me whose bank is foreclosing on his 2001 Pathfinder, which is the only vehicle that person has to get to work. And then we finish that case, and somebody else is in front of us discussing the notional value of $62 trillion, which is more than the worth of the world or some such thing. But in reality, the way the bankruptcy laws are drafted today, and this is, again, a very personal view, most of the code is designed, in my mind, to balance the rights of the debtor, whether that be a corporation or an individual, against the rights of the creditors. And everybody in some way gets hurt. Now, the laws swing and interpretations swing when people think one party is being protected too much, but the balance is generally the reason you're in this court is to protect the debtor's rights. And you have a whole body of laws, whether the automatic stay, avoidance powers, ipso facto, there's all these laws we've created. What the drafters have done in Bathsheba, which is the 2005 amendments, and other provisions in the code, is they've basically said, look, having to do with these derivatives and these crazy instruments that these people are developing on Wall Street, we really don't want to have a lot to do with it. Because if somebody files and you make a ruling, now you could be a very smart guy, but you're certainly not an expert on the way the financial system is working. And we can't figure out the consequence of that ruling and how it can impact the rest of the financial system. You know, but for a nail, my kingdom. What will that ruling do? So what Congress basically said is stay out of it. And we're going to create all these safe harbors. So if and when people file, as long as they're in the safe harbor, you don't have to think about it. And in fact, you can't think about it. Because we have, under Section 105, these great powers that I can issue, we can issue orders that said anything having to do with the bankruptcy code or this case, I can issue an order. I said, you can't do that here. And nobody else can either. So basically, leave it alone. The difficulty comes in with really smart people fighting about tremendous amounts of money, creating positions that say we're either in the safe harbor, which is sort of leave us alone, you can't touch us, and the other side saying no, they're not, and you can do something, and in fact, you must. And so what would on one hand be a relatively simple issue becomes incredibly complicated. So whether a forward contract to deliver gas is a forward contract or it's a service contract. And if you take the value of that out and multiply it and then say whatever ruling you're going to do is be used as precedent in something else, you can see the issues. So what we are going to be faced with, I believe, and are faced with, are determinations that really say, what's the nature of the action in front of you? Do you have a creditor? And that creates an enormous amount of problems on itself. What's the property you're fighting about? Is it property, quote, of the estate? Is it covered by the code? Is it in your jurisdiction? And what are the economic roles of all the parties? And quickly, just the way the bankruptcy code works is that at its heart is an attempt to create fairness, which means at the end of the day, and I'm talking about Chapter 11s, there are these votes, And a vote is based on, you create a class, it's a majority of the class, it's a majority, the issue of dollars. But normally, one thinks that there's economic reasons why people do what they do. They may be emotional, but generally they're economic. With the creation of these vehicles, what we see are that people who are in court as, quote, nominal creditors have either no economic interest in where the case comes out, or they almost have a reverse interest in that they're better off if the case doesn't succeed, whatever that may mean. So the normal motivations of people are also changed. And so you then have questions about who's on a committee, who wants to be on a committee, who represents the committee, who's the client. There are the numbers of issues that are coming down the pike are enormous. And the benefit I have for today in being able to end this is to say, I don't have any idea what I'll do, and whatever I just said, I may change my mind. And so we'll see where it goes.
John.
Bill,